Good to see you this evening. If you have your Bible, if you'll be turning with me to the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter, that will begin our study, Revelation 14. Appreciate so much your presence tonight as we come to study the Word of God and to exalt His name in song, to pray to Him and to do those things that glorify His holy name. In the Revelation letter and the 14th division, look with me at verse 5. And in their mouth was found no deceit, for they are without fault before the throne of God. If I may suggest, if you would, maybe underscore in your Bible the phrase, without fault before the throne of God. At this time, when the Apostle John is writing this letter, you remember the design of this book is to offer comfort to the people of God who are being persecuted at that very time. In the Revelation letter and the first chapter, you remember when John is writing, that John lets them know that he understands their tribulation. He said in verse 9, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of Jesus Christ, was in the island that is called Patmos. I want you to look at that particular time and notice they were undergoing fiery trials and tribulations. They were being persecuted by the Roman power because of their faith in Christ. Now, a lot of the book that you'll find as you study the Revelation letter is written in symbolic language. And the reason being is if it was brought in before a Roman or caught by a Roman governor or a Roman soldier, they would not know exactly what was being told. But it was written in symbolic language where those who were being persecuted could understand it, and they could have comfort in the fact that they were children of God. But at our time, for our study, it's here in the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter that the apostle directs their mind to the eternal throne of God and what it will be like at the end of the battle to be before the throne of God and to be without fault. And you know the same thing is needed in our day and time. And that's to keep our eye on the final goal, to be before the throne of God without fault. Now, the first thing I want to bring to our mind tonight as we make a study of that particular statement is who they are without fault before the throne. Now, some people will go to the Revelation letter and the 7th chapter, and we can say that these are the same ones in verses 3 through 8 where he talks about that they came out of every tribe. But you know, someone one time said, well, you know, preacher, what that means? That means that they came out of every denomination. Well, my friend, there's a problem with that. When they say that they came out of every denomination and they represent every sect, just join the sect of your choice and you'll be before the throne. Take note that in Revelation 7, 3 through 8, that Ephraim and Dan are not mentioned. So this would make some denominations or some religious sects lost. And you must find out which one. I believe that eliminates the idea of being true. There's only one body of Christ. And I'll tell you, my friend, He died for His church. He died for His people. And when we are added to the family of God, we don't put any other name except the name of Christ on us. We become Christians. We become children of God. We become disciples. And so one thing I understand this evening is when we look at the people who were without fault before the throne of God, they've been people who've been washed in the blood of the Lamb. They've been redeemed. Look back in the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter and let the Apostle John point this out. This isn't the words of Mike Richardson. This is what the Bible says in verse 3. In verse 3, he said, they sang as it were a new song before the throne, before the four living creatures and the elders, and no one could learn that song except the 140,000 who were redeemed from the earth. Now, don't pay attention to the symbolic language at this time. I just want you to take note of that word redeemed. He's talking about the people, the believers, those who've been saved. The number is talking about all the redeemed. Sometimes someone want to take that literal, but he's talking about all the redeemed. But what does it mean to be redeemed? It means to be purchased back. So this evening, one thing I can put down is that the people who've been redeemed are the people who stand without fault before the throne. But that brings up a question. How is one redeemed? Well, look in the Revelation letter for just a moment and the fifth chapter. And when you come to Revelation chapter 5, look at the song they were singing on this occasion. When they said, "You are worthy to take the scroll, to open its seals, for you were slain," and watch it, "have redeemed us." Underscore, redeemed us. Now, how has He redeemed us? To God by your blood. Now, you know, my friend, that's one thing I can understand tonight without any outside help. That one is purchased back. One is bought back by the blood of Christ. Now then, take your Bible and look in the Revelation letter and the first chapter. And when you turn to Revelation 1 in verse 5, look at what he says at the latter part. "To him who loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood." Now, I may not know much about the Bible, but I know this much. When one is redeemed, they're redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ. There's no other way to be redeemed except through the blood of Christ. Now notice the statement, "He washed us." It reminds me of what Ananias said to Saul, "Why tarriest thou? Arise and be baptized," what? Washing away your sins. When one is baptized, they come into contact with the blood of Christ, and the blood of Christ redeems him from sin. So this evening, when we look at the Bible, the Word of God, we understand that people who've been redeemed are people who've been bought back. They've been loosed from their sins. They've been made free by the blood of Christ. Look in your Bible in 1 Peter chapter 1 to make the point even more clear. In 1 Peter chapter 1, look at what it said in verse 18. "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver or gold from your aimless conduct received by tradition from your fathers, but," watch it, "but with the precious blood of Christ as of a lamb without blemish and without spot." Now then, in the Ephesian letter and the first chapter, when the Apostle Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, he brings to their mind in verse 7, "In Him we have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins, according to the riches of His grace." Paul, Peter, John, all tell us what? We're redeemed by the blood of Christ. When someone belittles baptism, they belittle one being washed in the blood of the Lamb. They belittle the blood taking away sin and making one right with God. But my Bible says one is redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ, and one comes in contact with the blood by being immersed into Christ and being washed in the blood. But then secondly, notice that those who are without fault before the throne are those who boldly profess to be followers of Jesus. Go back to the Revelation letter and the 14th chapter. And notice what he says again in verse 4. "These are the ones who are not defiled with women, for they are virgins. These are the ones who follow the Lamb wherever He goes. These were redeemed from among men, being first fruits to God and to the Lamb." Notice they were following the Lamb wherever the Lamb went. Now, my friend, that Lamb is talking about Christ, and take note, wherever He goes, even to the point of death, the followers follow Him. They boldly proclaim they are followers of Jesus Christ, and they stand unashamed to tell others. But look at the third thing that we just mentioned. They're undefiled. They're pure. And that is brought out in the fourth verse. They have dedicated their life to living for the Lord. But then notice in verse 5 something else. To be without fault before the throne of God, one must be sincere. Look, it says, there's no guile found in their mouth, no deceit. Now, I want us to understand that sincerity alone is not enough to save, but it is essential. That when I come to God, I come convicted and sincerely come with my faith that He will take away my sin. They were not just mere professors, but they were men of sincere heart, dedicated to the Lord. Now then, that brings up a second thought in our study. When we think about those who stand, think about without fault before the throne. And think about the throne of God. It is difficult for one to really describe this. Now, think about today, while we still live, we stand before the throne of God. And what we need to do is we stand on this earth, we understand God is on His throne, and what we do is we serve God here. Now, we don't see God face to face. We don't see God eye to eye with the naked eye. But by faith, we know God is on His throne, and we stand before Him. That's why John said in 1 John 1:7, if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with Christ and with one another. Open your Bible back to 1 Peter chapter 3. And when you come to 1 Peter chapter 3, notice that when Peter is writing, that he makes a great statement in verse 12. In 1 Peter 3:12, he said, "For the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous, and His ears are open to their prayer." Isn't that beautiful? Tonight, the God who is on His throne, His eyes are open to His people. Now, His face is turned against those who are wicked, who won't repent. But tonight, His eyes are open to His people. His ears are open. And when we pray, and when we lift up our eyes by faith, God hears and God sees. But then think about hereafter. Take note, there will come a time when all men will stand before the judgment seat of God. We read that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. But for just a moment, look in your Bible in Revelation chapter 20 for just a moment. And in Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, he said, "I saw the dead, small and great." Now watch what they're doing. "Standing before God. And books were opened. And another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged according to their works by the things which were written in the books." Now, one day we're going to stand before the throne of God. And now, my friend, the thing we want to do is to be able to stand without fault. We need to stand with our sins cleansed. We need to stand with our sins having been blot out, where they're not held against us. Free from sin, free from the effects of sin. Years ago, I preached a sermon, and it was called "I Plead the Blood." I remember a fellow not too long ago talking to me, and I thought about that sermon. I plead the blood. On the day of judgment, I don't want to plead guilty, though I am guilty of sin. Because of the consequence. I can't plead innocent because I'm guilty of sin. The only thing I can plead is the blood, that I've been redeemed through the blood of Jesus Christ. And that's all we can plead. And then we can be without fault before the throne because of the sacrifice of Jesus. That His sin has washed, or His blood has washed away our sin. And notice in heaven the rejoicing that we'll be able to rest from our labors. Look in Revelation 14. In Revelation 14 again, drop down and look at what He says in verse 13. He says, "Right, blessed are the dead who die in the Lord from now on, yes, says the Spirit, that they may rest from their labors and their works follow them." We live in a restless world. We live in an anxious world. We live in a troublesome world. We live in a tribulatory world. But I'll tell you, my friend, one day we'll live in a world, if we are without fault before the throne of God, where we have rest. But notice, you have to work. Not that you earn your salvation, but your works is because of who you are as the people of God. Look at what he said. You may rest from their labors and their works follow them. One day when I was a young man, Daddy came in, I was laying on the couch. And he said, what are you doing? I said, well, I'm resting. He said, from what? The yard's not mowed. Nothing's been done around here. And you know what his implication was? To rest, you got to do something. And as the people of God, while we're here, we're going to be the instruments that show our faith, as James says in James chapter 1 and 2, that people can see the works of God through us and come to Christ. We do good because we want our light to shine that men may see God. As taught in Matthew 5:16. But that brings up one last thought. Before the throne with fault. That's where you don't want to stand. And for a brief moment, I want you to think about what it means to stand before the throne with fault. In Matthew 25, he said to those who are on the left hand, that depart from me. Why? Because they did not do the things God had told them to do. Open your Bible to 2 Thessalonians chapter 1. In 2 Thessalonians chapter 1, when the Apostle Paul is writing, Paul lets them know something beginning in verse 8. In verse 8 he says, in flaming fire, taking vengeance on those who do not know God and on those who do not obey the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. What's going to happen to them, Paul? He said, these shall be punished with everlasting destruction from the presence of the Lord and from the glory of His power. Why? They did not know God. They did not obey God. So what's the result? They can't stand before the throne of God without fault. They stand with fault. Notice, if you will, in 1 Timothy chapter 4, those who've left the faith, those who one time were faithful but left the faith, they cannot stand before the throne without fault. Look at what it says in verse 1 of 1 Timothy 4. Now the Spirit expressly says that in latter times some will depart from the faith. And you know, my friend, even up to today you find people departing from the faith. The faith once delivered. The faith that is to be contended for. And my friend, for those who do not stand without fault before God, they won't have rest. They'll have eternal damnation. And Jesus says that in Matthew 25:41. They will be forever from the presence of God. They will be in eternal fire. Now, the question is, what about you? How will you stand before the throne of God? With or without fault? And the only way you can be without fault is to be washed in the blood of the Lamb. And if you need to be baptized tonight, we pray you come as together we stand and sing.